I suppose I shouldn't have slapped her back, but I did. Whop! Right across the nose. Maybe you can teach that boy some manners. Chicken dog! Wild hag! She burst into tears and went bawling to her husband, saying I was just an animal and had beat up her darn kid and had called her a wild hag. Turned out she was Scrunch's woman. And here he came, all humped up and hair raised and yeller eyes aflaming. I'd taken about all I wanted off of Scrunch and his family, and I was ready to go into combat. But Missy and her father jumped in between us and averted a civil war. But the incident didn't do much to improve relations between me and Missy's brother. I had a feeling that sooner or later we were going to have a showdown. Funny thing about all this, them coyotes didn't mind chewing on each other. I mean, they were fighting all the time. But when I tried it, they didn't like it. Made me think that no matter how long I stayed there, they'd always think of me as an outsider. Anyway, I was sitting on the ledge, off to myself and away from the noise, when Missy came up behind me. She nuzzled me with her nose and ran her claws down my backbone. She knew I liked that.
Something wrong? Hunk looks sad.
Oh, it's nothing. I just wanted to be alone, I guess.
Not enjoy other coyote?
Well, do you ever get tired of all the noise? All that fighting and yelling?
That happy sound, when coyote happy, make bunch noise. When we married, we happy make bunch noise too.
I see, yes, well, I guess we have that to look forward to, don't we?
When pup come, even more noise, oh boy!
Oh boy.
Hunk not be sad. Missy have something make Hunk feel good. We have feast, special food just for Hunk.
I followed her into the village. We went to her parents' den. They were sitting out in front, and the old lady was pulling cockle burrs out of the chief's tail. Missy asked her mother if she would prepare a special meal just for me. She said she would. She left and was gone for 10-15 minutes. I tried to make conversation with the old man, but it wasn't easy. He started talking about the old days, about the time when he went a couple of rounds with a skunk. He seemed to think this story was hilarious. I thought it was moderately funny. The chief was still cackling at his own wonderful story when the old lady returned, dragging in some horrible, stinking something or other. I turned to Missy. What's that?
Aged mutton.
Aged mutton? She nodded and smiled.
Special feast make Hunk forget sadness.
Aged mutton. No doubt it had been buried for a while. It was green, dotted here and there with white spots which turned out to be maggots. The smell alone would have taken the paint off a corral fence. The taste of such rot was too horrible to imagine. The old lady dragged it up and dropped it right at my feet. When she smiled at me, she looked an awful lot like her daughter, except that she had several teeth missing and some of that green stuff hanging from her lower lip.
Meat aged for many months, just right for Hunk now.
The old man threw back his head, let out a howl, and dived into it. The old lady did the same. Missy did the same. I took a deep breath, said a little prayer, and dove in too. Let's don't go into any details. It was bad. It was so bad that there are no words to describe it. I'll say no more. An hour later, I was lying down with my head over the cliff. I had emptied my body of everything but blood and a few bones. Missy stood over me, stroking my brow. She had been very nice about it. They all had been, even my future mother-in-law. She had decided that I had drunk some brackish water, and that's what had made me sick.
Hunk feel better now?
Feel better, sort of.
Hunk like coyote feast, oh boy?
Oh boy.
Now Hunk make ready for big raid?
raised up my head. Huh? That was the first I had heard about the raid. This was going to be my big chance to prove to Missy's Ma and Pa that I was worthy of their daughter. Scrunch was putting the deal together. A raid on the ranch. Along about dark, the Coyote Village came to life. Everybody was excited.
Fresh chicken! Fresh cat! Oh boy!
Even the kids were excited. They chased each other around, practiced howling, and played a game called Get the Dog. The idea of the game was that two kids played coyotes and one played the guard dog. The coyotes lured the dog out into a fight and then jumped him. I had played that game myself. Only when I'd played it, it hadn't been a game, and I'd been on the dog's side. I'd never thought it was much fun either. After the sun went down, Scrunch climbed up on a pile of rocks and gave a speech to the whole village. He was a firebrand and a rebel rouser, and he preached the kind of hot gospel them coyotes wanted to hear.
Jackrabbit run too fast, make coyote hard to catch. Mouse run down hole, coyote have to dig, make tired too. But chicken easy, chicken nice and fat. Sit on nest, not fight. Chicken plump and juicy. This night, everybody eat chicken.
A cheer went up from the crowd. I was standing beside Missy, and she hooped and hollered along with the rest of them. Scrunch waited for the cheering to die down and glanced over at me.
Ranch not have big guard dog now. Only little white dog with cut off tail. Maybe this night we kill dog too.
Another cheer. Scrunch watched me with a half smile on his face. When I didn't cheer with the rest of them, he said,
What you say, hunk? Maybe you help kill little white dog, huh?
Maybe so, Scrunch. Maybe so. Then he led the crowd in singing Me Just a Worthless Coyote, which was everybody's favorite song and sort of the coyote national anthem. I noticed it brought tears to old Chief Gut's eyes. Guess it brought back memories of his younger days. When the song started, Rip and Snort came over to where I was and wanted to harmonize, just the way we did the night we went carousing. I tried, but didn't feel much like singing. Rip and Snort bellered and howled and had themselves a big time. They were all excited about the raid, and they got into an argument over which one was going to give Drover the worst whipping. Listening to them snarl at each other, I got a funny feeling about good old boys. They have a way of changing into mean old boys pretty quick. The singing stopped, and it was time to start the raid. Scrunch led the whole village in a howl. Then those of us who were going on the raid lined up in single file. Missy came over to tell me goodbye.
Hunk have good fight. Bring back fat chicken. Prove to everybody that he good coyote.
Thanks, Missy. I'll do my best.
Then we marry. Have 7, 8 little pup.
7 or 8? She gave a yip and a howl.
Maybe 9, 10. Oh, boy!
She nuzzled me under the chin, stepped back, and gave me a smile. Gee, she had a pretty face, but you know what? When she smiled, I saw her mother's face and remembered that aged mutt. It darn near ruined the occasion for me. Scrunch came down the line, checking things out and giving orders to the men. When he came to me, he gave me a hard look.
Better not make mistake. Scrunch, watch close.
You do that, Scrunch. You might even learn something. He gave me a sneer and went back to the front. With the rest of the village cheering, we marched down the canyon rim in a trot. Once we left the village, Scrunch passed the order for silence. Down in the valley, we got on a cow trail and followed it south towards the creek. I couldn't help wondering where Drover was and what he was doing right now. Had he heard the singing? Did he run to the machine shed, or was he out on patrol? I hoped, for his sake, that he was in the backest corner of the machine shed, as those coyotes were in a dangerous mood. As we slipped along through the night, I started putting a few things together. It's pretty clear by this time that Scrunch was the one who had been responsible for the chicken murders. He'd been slipping down there by himself and killing one or two a night, and now he decided to launch a full-scale invasion and share the spoils of war with the rest of the coyotes. Funny, I'd solved the case. Only now I was working for the other side. Life sure does play tricks on a guy. Makes it awful hard to plan for the future. Growing up, I never would have dreamed that I'd end up a chicken killer. I was kind of glad Ma wasn't around to see it. About 200 yards north of the ranch, Scrunch called a halt and gave the final orders for the attack. He told Rip and Snort to circle around and come in from the south, and sent another couple of guys over to the west. He hadn't given me any orders, and that was good. I figured I could lay low, stay out of the way, and show up when all the dust cleared.
You!
Huh?
You go with Scrunch. We get little white dog. Find out how bad you want sister.
Well, surely I don't deserve such an honor.
Not talk, only fight.
The others left, and me and Scrunch started sneaking towards the ranch. I felt sick. Things had gotten out of control. I hadn't wanted it to happen this way, me against my old buddy Drover. In his own bungling way, Drover was a nice dog. We'd had our squabbles and differences, but we'd had some good times, too. About 25 yards out, Scrunch stopped and dropped down into the grass. I squinted into the darkness and saw Drover standing beside the northeast corner of the machine shed. As you might expect, he wasn't looking in our direction. The little runt had no idea what was fixing to break loose. A laugh growled in Scrunch's throat.
This easy. Dog stupid.
I couldn't argue with him. Facts is facts. We crawled forward another 10, 15 yards. Then, off to the south, Rip and Snort raised a howl. Drover jumped in the air and faced the south. I could see that he was shivering. Then the boys off to the west raised a howl, and Drover faced that direction. Scrunch growled, and Drover faced us. His head was cocked sideways, and one ear stood up. That meant he still didn't see us. But he was beginning to get the picture. The ranch was surrounded. I kept waiting for him to run, but he didn't. Scrunch pushed himself up out of the grass.
You go first. I watch.
Who, me? Well, seems to me that the hair went up on the back of his neck and there was murder in those yeller eyes.
You go first, or I cut throat right here.
I could tell he wasn't kidding. I just thought there's no need to... I see what you mean. Yes, I'll go first. I stood up. Scrunch threw back his head and let loose the bloodiest howl I ever heard. Sent shivers all the way down to the end of my tail is how frightful it was. He gave me a shove, and the attack was on. Drover heard us coming. He started yipping and jumping up and down, but he stood his ground. I could hear myself talking. Run, Drover, while there's still time. My voice got louder. You got no chance, Drover. Don't try to be a hero. Next thing I knew, I was yelling. Drover, run for the shed! You're outnumbered! They'll kill you! Run for your life! That little mutt was so scared he was spinning in circles and jumping up and down at the same time. But he still didn't leave his post. By this time, I could see Rip and Snort sneaking up behind him, the moonlight glinting off their teeth and eyes. They didn't look like good old boys anymore. They had murder on their minds. Behind me, Scrunch was screaming.
Kill! Kill!
All at once, something snapped inside my head. I felt wild and crazy. I headed straight for Drover. I'll never forget the look in his eyes. He was more than scared. He was bewildered. Didn't know what was happening to him. He turned to face my charge. As I flew past him and took aim for Snort, I said, "This is it, son! Hell against Texas! Fight for your life!" I caught Snort by surprise and sent him rolling down the hill. That gave me just enough time to catch Rip as he was making a dive for the back of Drover's neck. Hit him in midair and knocked him on his back. By this time, Scrunch had plowed Drover under and was standing on top of him, ready to tear out his throat. I lit right in the middle of his back, got a bite on his right ear, and started chewing. That took his mind off Drover. He jumped straight up and pitched me off. I got to my feet, and he got to his feet, and we faced each other. Call off your boys, Scrunch. Let's make it me and you, one on one.
Chicken dog die for this.
I had a little piece of his ear in my mouth, and I spit it out at his feet. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw a light come on down at the house. That was my only hope. If Iloper didn't hurry and get his pants on and grab his gun, I was a dead dog. Seems you lost a piece of one ear, Scrunch. If you'll come a little closer, I'll work on that other one so they'll match. Scrunch cut his eyes towards Rip and Snort.
Get him!
Rip and Snort gave me kind of a mournful look. It was decision time. They had to choose between an old drinking buddy and their own flesh and blood.
Get him!
They licked their lips and swallowed and glanced at each other. And they chose flesh and blood. They started creeping towards me. Drover, keep him off my back, son, or we're finished. Drover squeaked. He was too scared to talk. Rip and Snort and the other two coyotes started closing in on me.
Honk, stupid dog. Stupid dog pay with life.
You could be right, Scrunch, but you've got it to do. We was totally surrounded, and it was every man for himself. I figured I might as well leave this old life with another piece of Scrunch's ear, so I made a dive at him. We collided and went up on our hind legs. I boxed him across the nose, and he boxed me right back. Made my eyes water. I clawed his lip, and he clawed mine. I went for his ear, and he went for mine. We chewed and snapped and snarled and growled. Big old Scrunch was a little surprised that a cow dog could give him such a tussle. I was holding my own until they jumped me from behind. Two or three of them didn't get a good count, but it was plenty enough to finish me off. They wrestled me down, throwed me on my back, then pinned me to the ground. Scrunch walked up and straddled me, showing his big, sharp teeth.
Now you die!
He went for my throat, and I heard St. Peter blow his horn. St. Peter's horn had an odd kind of sound. Instead of saying toot toot, as you might expect, it said
balloon.
And it made fire that lit up the sky, and something went whistling over our heads. Shucks, that wasn't St. Peter at all. It was Hiloper, and he was standing on the back porch blasting away with his pump shotgun. Crunch had just fitted my throat around his jaw and was fixing to remove it when the artillery opened up. He threw his head up into the air.
Scrunch, hurry! Kill dog fast!
Scrunch was going for the throat again for a quick kill when the second load of shot arrived. Loper had found his range, and he distributed a full load of number 7 birdshot about evenly through the crowd. You never heard such yipping and squalling. Them coyotes were jumping around like crickets in a shoebox, knocking each other down, trying to get out of the way. All but Scrunch. He backed away real slow.
Another time, Hunk. We meet again.
Yeah, and so's your old man. That's the best I could come up with on the spur of the moment and with a sore throat.
I picked myself up and limped around. I had some nicks and cuts, but nothing was busted. I'd come through the fight in pretty good shape, all things considered. Loper came running up the hill, slipping shells into his shotgun. He hadn't taken time to put on his jeans, God bless him, which probably saved my life. All he had on was a pair of brown and white striped boxer shorts, his cowboy boots, and a t-shirt with 3 holes in it, and some windmill grease. Legs looked awful pale and skinny sticking out of them boxer shorts.
Dang coyotes!
He looked at me, and this This next part is kind of shocking, so prepare yourself. He looked at me, and it still gets me a little choked up even today, and he smiled. That's right, he smiled at me, Hank the cow dog. I mean, I was just, by George, overwhelmed by it. In my whole career, I couldn't remember Loper ever smiling at me. Hank, you've come back home. He laid down the shotgun and came over and throwed his arms around me and gave me a big hug. By golly, it's good to have you. I licked him on the face. He drew back and wrinkled his nose. Dog, you stink. Where have you been? Aged mutton is where I'd been. About then, Sally Mae came up the hill, tying the strings on her house coat and pushing the hair out of her eyes, which were red and puffy.
What is it? What's wrong?
Coyotes, hon. Whole pack of them. I bet they were trying to get into the chicken house, but old Hank suddenly appeared. Good dog, Hank. Good dog. And he and Drover... Where's Drover? That was a good question. I'd kind of forgot about him in all the excitement. Then Sally Mae gave a cry.
Oh, no! I think he's not moving. He's just lying there.
I've already mentioned that in the security business, you can't afford to let your emotions get the best of you. I mean, it's a tough business, and you have to be prepared for the worst. I considered myself pretty muchly hard-boiled, but when I saw little Drover stretched out there on the ground, it really ripped me. I mean, the little guy had done his best to protect the ranch. He'd stood his ground under combat conditions. And now, we all went over to him. He didn't move a muscle, not even a hair. And it was pretty clear to me that he was, well, dead. A big tear came out of my eye and rolled down my nose. I had to turn away. I couldn't stand to look anymore. Loper bent down, and there was a long silence. His heart's still beating. He's still alive.
Oh, thank goodness.
Actually, I can't see anything wrong with him. He's got a nick on his nose and one ear's been chewed on, but other than that, he looks all right.
Let's take him into the house. I'll make him a nice little bed and try to get some warm milk down him.
Loper gathered him up in his arms, and they started down the hill. I just happened to be looking at Drover when, all at once, one eye popped open. He glanced around and closed it again. The little runt was half-stepping is what he was doing, and he wasn't about to miss out on that soft bed and warm milk. All right, maybe he fainted or something in the heat of battle. Sounds like something he'd do, but I could see that he wasn't feeling no pain. It took him 2 whole days to get over his craving for warm milk in a soft bed. And he probably could have strung out another day or two, only he peed on the carpet and got throwed out. I was down by the corrals when he came padding up.
Hi, Hank, what's going on?
I was working on another case and didn't really want to be disturbed. Hello, half-stepper. What's going on is that some of us have to work for a living so that others of us can attend to the milk drinking. He shrugged and gave me a silly grin.
I'm feeling much better now, thanks.
I'll bet.
What you working on?
I glanced over both shoulders before I answered. There's something funny going on around here, Drover. Look at these tracks. I pointed to the tracks, but he didn't look. Tracks are down here in the dirt, son. That's where you find most tracks on the ground.
Hank, tell me something. Did you really join up with the coyotes? I mean, did you really think you could live with them?
I walked a short distance away, and for a minute I didn't answer. Drover, if I tell you something, will you swear to keep it a secret? He bobbed his head. No, I mean you've got to swear an oath. He raised his right paw.
I swear an oath, Hank. My lips are sealed.
Okay, I guess I can trust you. You know what undercover work is?
Sort of.
Well, that's what I was doing. See, we weren't getting anywhere with the chicken house murders, and I figured the only way we could crack the case was for me to infiltrate the coyote tribe. It was risky. I knew there was a good chance I'd never come back alive, but it had to be done.
No fooling?
That's right. And it had to be top secret. I mean, I couldn't even let you in on it. If them coyotes had ever suspected a thing, it would have been curtains for this old dog.
Well, weren't you scared?
now? Well, a little bit. Actually, the toughest problem was keeping the women away.
The women?
Right. Grover, you won't believe this, but they was actually fighting over me. I mean, it got embarrassing after a while. Why, one evening, these two beautiful women... I'll tell you about it some other time. Right now, we've got another case to crack. Now, look at these tracks. What do you make of them?
Well, they were made by an animal. And I'd say the animal walked right past here and left those tracks in the dirt.
So far, so good. Keep going.
That's all I see, Hank. I'm stumped.
Okay, now listen and learn. Them's badger tracks. While we were busy fighting off the whole coyote nation, a badger slipped onto the ranch, and I've got an idea that he's still around.
You mean, if we follow the tracks, we'll find him?
That's correct.
Uh-oh. Badgers are pretty tough.
Yes, that's true, but duty's duty. If we start letting badgers in here, before you know it, they'll try to take the place over. Come on, Drover. We've got work to do.
Badgers have big claws, Hank.
You leave the claws to me. I'll go in the first wave, and then you jump him from behind. And darn you, if you run off and leave me again, I don't know what I'll do, but you won't like it.
Okay, Hank, I'll be right behind you.
I put my nose to the ground and started following the trail. It led around the saddle shed and through the garden. Reading the signs, I saw where Mr. Badger had stopped in the garden and dug up a couple of worms or bugs. I continued east, following the trail through the gate, past the gas tanks, up the hill, and right to the yard gate. This is worse than I thought, Drover. He's in the yard. That doesn't leave us much choice. This could get nasty. Could be a fight to the death.
Who's death?
In this business, you never know. You just have to give your best for the ranch. Come on, let's move out. We hopped over the fence. I got down in my stalking position and picked up the trail again. The scent was getting stronger now. It was real strong. Badgers have musk glands, you know, and they leave a heavy scent. Suddenly, I saw him, hiding in a bunch of flowers. I froze. Drover ran into me. This is it. Good luck. I crept forward two more steps, went into my attack position, and sprang. Suspended in the air over the flower bed, I got a good look at the enemy. It suddenly occurred to me that badgers aren't black with two white stripes running down the middle of their backs. They don't have a small head with beady little eyes or a long bushy tail. It was a skunk. I had been duped. I tried to change course in midair, but it was too late. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw Drover jump over the yard fence and head for the machine shed. What followed was entirely predictable. I landed right in the middle of the scoundrel. He fired. The air turned yellow and poisonous. My eyes began to water, and I gasped for breath. Sally Mae's south window happened to be open. Was that my fault? I mean, had I gone through the house that morning opening all the windows? Of course not. But on this ranch, rule number one is that, when in doubt, blame Hank. I ran for my life and rounded the corner of the house just as Sally Mae came boiling out the back door. She was armed with a broom and took a swat at me as I flew past. My eyes were stinging so badly that you got to understand that I could hardly see and was having trouble catching my breath. The back porch door was open, and you might say that I ran into the utility room, where Sally Mae had just taken a basket of clean clothes out of the washing machine. Was it my fault that she happened to be washing clothes that day?
Get out of my house, you stinking dog!
Well, as I've said before, every dog in this world isn't cut out for security work. It requires a keen mind, a thick skin, and a peculiar devotion to duty. I mean, you put in 16, 18 hours a day. You're on call day and night. Your life is on the line every time you go out on patrol. You're doing jobs that nobody else wants to do because of the danger, etc. You make the world a little safer, a little better. You take your satisfaction where you can get it, in knowing that you're doing the job right. The very people you're protecting won't understand. They'll blame you when things go wrong. But that's the price of greatness, isn't it? And if you were born to be a cow dog, it's all part of a day's work.